Welcome to the Axelon Archives, where we watch each and every episode of the 1990s CG cartoon Beast Wars Transformer. I'm James.
I'm Dude.
And I'm Morph.
All right, and and this week we have a guest with us.
Hello. I am Morpheus.
Nice. We've actually got a Canadian guest on this week, and I didn't think they would write down all of my Canadian questions, but we'll see what I can remember as we go through this episode.
Well, I could tell you one question that's definitely should be on there. Mm-hmm. I know this show is Beasties.
Yep. Which is, I get that, like, you guys, I get that Canada doesn't like wars and titles, but Beasties? That seems a little weird.
Are you kidding me?
I say that like you were in charge of the decision.
The channel that had this on would not allow Power Rangers to be on that channel because they said it was too violent.
Who had it? Was it YTV?
Yep, YTV.
Are there other networks in Canada other than YTV? Like, every time I listen to a pop culture podcast and they talk about the show, it's like, yeah, this was on YTV.
I'm pretty sure it's YTV and that's it.
According to VoicePrint with Trevor Duvall, which is how I know about the Canadian voiceover industry, there is no other channel but YTV.
Of course there isn't.
Well, so they actually had one of the, I don't know, I guess he was in marketing or something, one of the Mucky Mucks from YTV named Martin. Like, he would, the guest that was going to be on that episode, he basically mined every single credit they had for a show on YTV at the moment and try to fit. So basically saying, if you want to hear this guest, like, I don't know, want to hear David Kay, here's the current stuff that he's voicing that's on YTV. Uh-huh. They called him, it actually turned into a segment called Martin's Mailbag.
Okay. I had no idea. I mean, that is weird. I've heard a lot about YTV over the years between, like, the stuff, the changes, the host segments, which some of which you can find on YouTube.
Oh man, let's not get into those.
Yeah, that would be its own thing. But like if you ever think about, like, who's like the lady who like does the animals? That was my favorite one that I got linked to, where she like posts
Sugar?
Like the animals and tells a story, but is always just like knocking them down, and I think it's unintentional most of the time.
Oh man, sounds like the Fuzz Paws days, but. That was, like, early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, that's what... Yeah, obviously, all these ones I got linked to, other Canadians, just like, is this real? Am I being pranked? It's like, no. When I talk to, like, retro gaming fans from the UK about the ZX Spectrum, it's like, yeah, this was, like, RNES. I'm just like, really?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's Canada. Mm-hmm.
So let's get into the question that we were I forgot to write down, but I think we asked last time. So what was your first involvement with Transformers, and what are your memories of Beast Wars, first of all?
So how I got into the series was I first saw it, like, I saw the premiere episode and was hooked immediately. I didn't know what this was. I just thought this was awesome. Like, I think the first memory I have of it was Optimus punching Megatron in the head in the second episode.
Nice. So, Beast Wars was your first Transformers series, period.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I have to ask this because I'm the baby on my own podcast. How old were you?
When was that,
93?
96.
Okay,
so I was 6.
Damn it!
I was gonna say, I'm 28. How old are you?
I'm 26. I was 4 years old when I first and in kindergarten.
Yep.
What's not the old man here over at 34?
That's all right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're the appropriate age. I was just super young for the show.
Okay.
Yep. And then, of course, fell in love with Dinobot immediately because I was like, this guy's awesome and he's angry all the time.
It is true. Although he doesn't actually show up at all in this episode.
Nope. He's at the pop machine.
Yep. He may have one non-speaking cameo, like when they're in the base. I think that's about it.
Nope, I've gone through it. I can't find it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, on the upside, next week he'll feature heavily.
Oh yes, it's true. He will.
Yeah. We also do still get plenty of Scott McNeil talking to himself.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess our other question would have been, who's your favorite Transformer? Then I guess you've answered that.
Well, here's the thing. I fell in love with Dinobot as a kid, but as an adult, Tarantulas is by far my favorite person.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And I believe
last week I would be saying, how dare you, but this week I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, which I believe this is the reason why you requested this episode.
Yep. Yeah. This is, like, his moment to shine. Everything Tarantulas is this episode.
So let's get to this episode.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, this week we're watching episode 30 of the show, and the fourth episode of season 2, Tangled Web, which aired on November 16th, 1997, directed by Craig McEwen, a director and offline editor. Only episode on this show he directs, so first single episode guy in a long time. And he also directed an episode of the 2000 CGI show Action Man show, which I think was technically a reboot.
I think.
Also, I just because I got curious, because they, as you mentioned last week, which Morpheus, I don't know if you heard that episode yet or not.
Yes.
Because I was late putting it up. I put it up today as we were recording.
yeah, I listened to it on my way home.
Yeah, but I actually checked what day of the week these were coming out on. They're coming out on Sundays for some reason.
Weird.
Odd.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect that to be, like, a hot new day for episodes, but who knows? Maybe they were also, like, running them later in syndication? Anywho, this episode, the writer is also pretty cool for this one. This one's episode is written by Len Wein. Who, this is the only episode of the show, but he's also better known as an American comic book author and editor, especially for Marvel Comics. He created Swamp Thing for DC Comics, and then I think also created Man Thing for Marvel Comics. I might be wrong on that. But he definitely wrote Giant Size X-Men number 1, which is responsible for creating some of the most popular X-Men, including Storm, Colossus, Nightcrawler, and Wolverine, although... No, that's right, yeah. I was going to say he created Wolverine was created before that, but I forgot. Nope, Len Wein also wrote that book, too. Sadly, passed away, I believe, just last year, if memory serves me correct.
Yes, actually, last September. I wrote that in here when I was making the script, but I accidentally deleted part of it. I guess that's something I got lost.
Yeah, but he's definitely had a hand in a lot of comics, particularly around in, like, I think late 70s, early 80s. Mm. And I know he has, like, a ton of other just, like, random TV credits. We don't have any listed, but I'm going to bet there's a bunch of them.
Hmm. Oh, I forgot to mention, he will actually be, he did do an episode of G1, called, ironically, I think it was called Webworld.
Oh, right! That's right, he did that one with Diane, I'm forgetting her name, but, like, she's the author of the So You Want to Be a Wizard series.
Huh. And then he will... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that one's actually a really good one, like, that's the one where Cyclonus takes Galvatron and tries to commit into an alien insane asylum, but, like, Galvatron's too crazy for it and drives the planet insane. It's the worst intervention ever.
And he also will be returning for one episode of Beast Machines and two episodes of the 2015 Robots in the Sky series.
Oh, yeah.
Not bad.
Didn't know he came back for some of the later shows.
Yeah, like I said, I just got his credits. Like I said, some of the stuff got, I guess, the only stuff that got erased were details related to Len Wein, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, so let's get into the episode itself. So we open up with Megatron starting a new plan, summoning Tarantulas, who's in the middle of some experiment. He says, like, oh, I'm trying to understand our transmetal bodies. Megatron's like, don't care, I got stuff for you to do. where he's sending Tarantulas out with Black Arachne and Quickstrike to create an create a refueling station, while sending Wasp and Air Inferno to build a jamming tower.
So this decision kind of shows that Megatron's a little bit of a segregationist, because he's splitting up the arachnids and the insects.
Granted, I don't know why he's decided to send Tarantulas on the thing that Tarantulas like could more mess with. I don't know. I guess even if he's weighing his options of what Tarantulas could sabotage, I guess he decided Energy Upa was easier to write off than Jamming Tower.
Yeah. Tarantulas is the only one who can actually segment Energon, so it kind of makes sense to send him.
Yeah.
Well, but they're in cubes now. You don't really need to segment Energon anymore.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Also, yeah, pointing it out, I didn't really realize it, that how all of the Predacons, with the exception of Megatron, are invertebrates now.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways,
actually, I think they will be till the end of the series, actually.
Yeah. Also, I think this is the first time Wasp, Meteor, and Inferno don't talk much, but I think, is this the first instance we get of Inferno calling Megatron Queen?
No.
I don't think
We had that in Out of the Voices.
Okay, that's right. Yeah. But, like, he does respond and say, like, I do wish he wouldn't call me that.
Yeah.
Oh, Inferno, never change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think eventually he does referring him to as the royalty.
Yep. So, anyways, we cut to them getting ready to drive off supplies. And what's kind of interesting is they basically have a bunch of carts that they're going to be, like, towing in beast mode, which is interesting. It's like, not exactly, like, spiders aren't exactly draft animals, but I guess they can do it. And I guess, like, they don't, it's not like they have, like, much tech to work with.
Nope, they don't really have anything else.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. Then maybe that's why you sent them, because the other two won't be really great at hauling stuff, like, even worse than these three would be.
Yeah. Yeah, Black Arachnia is efficient as always, and basically has, like, the work divided up, and then immediately, like, charms Quickstrike into taking more of her own work.
Quickstrike was so entertaining this episode.
Yeah.
His lines are great.
Yeah, he he totally misses out on all of the intrigue going on. But anyways, Tarantulas, is not exactly happening to this, so he, like, plans his own sabotage and puts a little drone thing which sneaks into one of the loads and starts sending a signal out. And also, as they go out, Tarantulas, like, does a Texas accent, which is very weird.
Like, at some point, like, I'm starting to have trouble differentiating between a Texas accent and just trying to sound like a cowboy.
Yeah.
Same thing, really.
Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Most cowboys were in, like, New Mexico and Arizona, but yeah.
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 And we also get a brief shot of Tarantulas' like, beast mode mouth, which I never noticed before, but it's very weird.
Oh yeah, that's later. Like when he's. Oh, okay. I'll just read my note. So because his beast hands are obviously his legs, but in robot mode, when he's talking in beast mode, it looks like he's talking out of his crotch.
Yeah, and since by design he doesn't have, like, in, like, Tarantula's original beast mode model, they mostly approximated what, like, a spider's mouth actually looks like, mm-hmm. But it doesn't really have that, so instead it, like, has a bit that just, like, kind of opens, like, it's very Muppety, and I never remembered that being in the show, and seeing it here was very weird. We might have to see if we can get a good screenshot of that for the visual guide.
I think this is one of only three times where you actually see his beast mode mouth.
Yeah, I don't think they show it that much, because they realize it looked really goofy, and we don't need to see it most of the time.
Hmm. The drone that he planted, there was I just saw him put some kind of signal in there, and I said, I can only assume this will alert the Maximals. And my next note is, I was right, Cheetor picked up the signal.
Yeah, we cut back to the Axelon where Rhinox is trying to do some tests on Optimus, figure out the capabilities of transmetal, and ends up shocking himself unconscious. Before Cheetor detects the signal, and they call Rat Trap and Silverbolt to go and look after it. And we probably won't talk, and that's pretty much all the Maximals do in this episode. We'll probably touch on them a bunch, but like, they're almost not really that important for the plot of this episode.
Not particularly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyways, we cut back to the Arachnids. Cut back to the Arachnids, where Quickstrike is still kind of flirting with Black Arachnia, for Tarantulas comes up, and we get a good Black Arachnia's like, "What do you want, Quasar Brain?"
Yeah, is where Tarantulas actually talks. He basically just takes the opportunity to remind her that he has mental control over her. Tarantulas, come on! I'm really glad that this episode gets rid of this thing, because he's just basically using it to,
it's torture.
Torture her. He's being very mentally abusive. That is why he's been creeping out the last few episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, and he in particular acts the link to cause her to kind of thrash a bit and cause one of the boxes from her car to land on her. Quickstrike gets it up and is like, "Oh, anything? Are you okay?" And then she just yells at him. It's just like, "I don't understand women," basically.
He ran over screaming, "Sugarbot!
Sugarbot!" That's right, what he says.
I'm just taking inventory of his nicknames, because he refers to everybody as a nickname. I know him by their actual name. So, Black Arachnia is now Sugarbot. Megatron is just Boss. Inferno is, of course, Blenderbutt.
Yeah.
What is Tarantulas? Does he have one yet?
I know, not yet, but I know later on the episode he calls him the Big T.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Anyways, they get to the cave, and Tarantulas is suddenly a bit more impressed by it. And where we get to see Energon cubes, which more or less look like the ones in the original show, except they're blue, and they kind of look more crystalline. I forget the kind of minerals, but there are certain minerals that you see in kind of cube formations. That's what they kind of look like in this, except glowy and stuff.
Hmm. I'll put a picture in.
Yeah. Tarantulas decides, "Ooh, I could use this as a layer." And then decides doesn't need the Maximals after all. So he has his probe come out of the thing. And it's like, "Oh, is he just going to shut it down?" But no, he squashes it. And just like, "You could have reused that. That probe had a family, maybe."
I'd just like to point out, there is one part where Black Arachnia does this pose while she has Quickstrike light a flare, and it's just, it's so distracting.
That's right.
He just falls for it hook, line, and sinker the whole time.
Yeah.
I think we've established Quickstrike is a dumb brute. He just wants to fight all the time.
Yeah.
He's literally just the bad guy from a cowboy movie.
Yeah, he might as well be.
Mm-hmm. So, cut back to the Maximals just a brief moment, because the signal goes dead. And Rex is like, "Well, I guess what are we going to do?" Before Silver says, "Oh, we can follow our noses," which I only bring up because Rat Draft says, "Well, considering the honkers we got, it's worth a shot." Just...
Yeah, and because any group involving Scott McNeil has to have some kind of a name, I gave these two the Mammal Scots.
Uh-huh. All right. So, anyways, we'll probably won't go back to them until they actually show up at the end.
Nope.
Again, they're not very important.
I don't think they show them until they actually find it.
Yeah. Anyways, so we cut back to the Predacons, and Black Arachnia kind of gets on the save when Trench is like, hey, wow, you could make, if you had this properly defended, you could make this into a fortress. And Trench is like, oh yes, I definitely didn't think of that a few seconds ago. By the way, anyone want to do an Arachnid alliance? To which Black Arachnia is like, no, I don't want to team up with you again. And he says, well, you don't have a choice. I still have the link. This is like, and yeah, I guess we could team, basically like, oh yeah, I guess we could team with Quickstrike too. And subverts him in a very easy fashion, where he just goes over to Quickstrike and says, hey, what do you think of Megatron? He's like, he's okay, he doesn't let me fight enough. Well, what if I let you fight more? Ooh, I like fighting. Paraphrasing dialogue mostly. We do get the line, destruction's better than construction. You get my drift? Which obviously, I guess obviously you never had a chance to meet the Constructicons. Otherwise, you know, you could do both.
Even if he did, he wouldn't remember it.
This is true.
Do they not remember when they're put together?
Well, I think you meant remembering the Constructicons.
Yeah, they don't remember anything before they woke up from the stasis pods.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about Quickstrike. Yeah. Okay. I thought it was an allusion to the Constructicons. Okay.
Yeah, I got what you were throwing down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. Oh, I also forgot that when Quickstrike is slightly hesitant, like, I don't know if we can beat Megatron, and Tarantula employs the time-honored Marty McFly strategy. He's like, what are you, scared?
Oh no, he calls him chicken.
Oh, that's right, yeah, he straight up calls him chicken. I think they even, like,
yep,
put in, like, a chicken block sound effect as he, like, he's like, huh? What? Chicken? No one calls me chicken.
And, like, watching Quickstrike's reaction, remembering that in the Japanese dub, his snake head actually is a separate personality, like, at one point, I see it, like, just go at him, like, it's egging him, it's probably egging him on, too.
Quite possibly.
I love that he points with his other leg hand with just one finger.
Yeah, that one's kind of complicated. Like, I do not envy the animator to figure out, like, how do we, like, okay, we've had some characters with weird hands, but how do we deal with this guy who effectively has 8 fingers on one hand? Yeah.
They really should have thought this design out better. Just, like, he's cool looking. You should not have given him leg hands.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Alright. Anyway, we cut to Black Arachnia, who's just, like, muttering, like, basically kind of just, like, doing that plot thing where just, like, I don't have any reason to talk about this, but I'm just gonna talk about the thing I know, just to establish the onion nose, talking about, like, the data that she has. And, Trenches comes up and says, like, hey, what are you talking about? Like, I don't have to tell you. This is like, well, I'm gonna make you tell me by trying to use this cyberlink. Which she discovers that she's actually encoded that information in her brain, so he can't read it. So then he tries to force it out of her, and then, shoot, I didn't write that down. Because Black Arachnia does something to knock him down, but I forget
she
what.
She threw a pipe at him.
Oh, that's right.
She had a pipe in her hand,
and then
and
goes
she
off,
just hurls it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, like, when he gets up, he sort of gets up, he just says, of course you realize this means war.
Yes. Anyways, we cut back to the dark side of it, where we see Megatron in his hot top, sadly no rubber ducky yet. Zia checks in on Waspinator and Inferno, who have managed to build their janitor tower. And he compliments them. Right before, I think, like, in the background, Inferno's, like, messing with it and trying to make sure it's sturdy, accidentally pulls out one of the tripods, and you can see it falling down on Waspinator before the signal cuts out. So, even an episode where he doesn't really get focused, something bad happens to Waspinator.
Inferno also he's laughing maniacally.
Yes.
So I'm starting to think he's sort of a Bart Simpson, Dennis the Menace type.
Kinda. Anyway, so then Negatron goes to check in on the arachnids. So none of them are answering. She causes them to curse them all as you get a dramatic camera zoom upward. Which, again, is kind of goofy because he is in, like, a hot tub. Alright, so, yeah, we get back into the cave where Tarantulas is stalking Black Arachnia that comes from the surface with a weird, it looks like a knife, but it has, like, two blades perpendicular to each other, and just, like, is this first, I'm just like, wait, is she just gonna stab him? That doesn't seem right. Except what it actually does is the blades split open so she could, like, stick an energon cube in between them all. And then, decides to play, like, chicken with a hand grenade with Tarantula, saying, hey, if you don't, I'm sick of this link, I want to be free of this link, terminate the link, or I'm going to terminate the both of us. And to which he's like, well, I'll call your bluff because I can just tell you no. And it's like, before Black Rhino points out, is basically betting on the energon interference to prevent him from, like, fully activating the link to stop her. So then we kind of get I don't want to say wizard's duel, but just, like, kind of them, like, kind of concentrate, like Tarantulas concentrating, trying to keep Black Arachnia from doing the cube, Black Arachnia fighting it. Eventually, she kind of cracks the cube and, like, takes an energon surge, and Tarantulas is like, well, I guess you're gonna die, before suddenly she activates the link back to him, so they're both experiencing the same pain. And that's what ultimately, like, Tarantulas says, like, okay, you win, terminates the link, and then Black Arachnia throws the cube back into the cave before it explodes. Like, I know I went through that rather quickly, but it's actually a really good, really tense moment of just, like, Black Arachnia, like, having no more, she does not care anymore. I was gonna say a word that we're trying not to say since we're all ages, but she has no flips left to give.
To quote, what is it? To quote Black Panther, or like almost the, like, last line of the movie. Dying is better than bondage.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Basically,
there is one thing that he does say that is important, which is the link is broken. Get out of my mind.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Because that's important for later.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then after the link is broken, Tarantula's, like, he still tries to rear up on her, says, like, I'm okay, good job, I'm still gonna kill you now. Then Quickstrike just comes in, it's like, no time for that, we got Mackle outside.
Yeah.
Trouble with a capital M.
Yeah, because, like, during a lot of times where, like, Black Arachnia and Tarantula's are facing off, it's kind of a gag that Quickstrike's just like, it's just like, hey, are you guys actually going to do work? As he's trying to do stuff. But, suddenly the Maximals show up. Did I skip something you were going to say, Morpheus, or?
No, the only thing I said was, he comes up and just says, we have trouble. Trouble with a capital M.
That's right.
Yeah. They and then here's where Silverbolt and Rattrap make their way back into the plot.
Mm-hmm.
They start fighting, and because I usually don't take very detailed notes for the fight scenes, my one note for this fight scene is Silverbolt and Black Arachnia meet.
Yeah, we get we finally get them to meet. Like, although it's kind of weird. So they start off, like, there's a lot of fighting. Black Arachnia gets to use the classic, like, spider leg things, but getting knocked down, and Silverbolt's over her in a position to, like, I want to say finish her off, but it's like it's a kid's cartoon, so it wouldn't actually finish her off. Before he's just like, no, like, I won't hit a female. To which Rattrap says, that widow is about as female as a piston, which, where are you going with that, buddy? I don't know what that's supposed to mean. I don't want to think about it, because, like, I'd be like, are you, because I don't want to think of the implications.
Well, I think what he means is, like, she may be a female bot, but at the same time, she's also, like, a deadly assassin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So, we also do get to have a quick strike in Silverbolt. Also, one thing I want to point out here, because something I noticed in the episode. Throughout the episode, like, Tarantulas keeps referring to, like Quickstrike as, oh yeah, the Fusor. Which, I know that's, like, they're not anything that's the name of toys, but I don't think anyone actually called them that in the previous episodes. And while I guess it makes sense, like, okay, Tarantulas is a scientist, he'd make up the name. But then also, like, Rattrap says, like, hey, Silverbolt, take out the Fusor! And it's just weird that suddenly everyone knows that's the word we should be calling these guys. I mean, I guess maybe they got mailed a product catalog? I don't know.
The name did get used in, I think, like, latter half of... I think around the time when Megatron meets them. I think he actually gave him the name.
Yeah.
Yeah, he says it when he...
Oh, yeah, so they have used the word Fusor before.
Okay. I guess that's easier than saying, like, oh, look at the half-scorpion, half-cobra. But yeah, it just stuck out. I didn't remember it from the last episode. It just seemed like everyone's like, yes, go get the Fusor, TM, Hasbro.
Oh, that reminds me. Okay, so there's, towards the end of the episode, there's something we had to talk about.
Uh-huh. Yeah, anyways, so the most important part of the battle is Tarantulas, for no reason in particular, yeah, I was like, oh, don't let them get to the cavern! Wink. To which Max will say, like, oh, we should get to the cavern. See what's important there. But as they get to the entrance, the cavern explodes. To which, I think Quickster's like, oh, darn it! And Tarantulas is like, oh no, they blew up the base! Except, of course, the Max is just like, what happened? We didn't do anything.
Yeah, and Quickstrike was asking Tarantulas why he disappeared for a not an insignificant amount of time during the battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the notes I've taken here was... I apparently took 6 different notes of Quickstrike lines.
But, oh, did we miss any good ones?
Well, him getting ready for the fight, running in, seeing Silverbolt throwing missiles, and goes, here it comes, and diving out of the way.
Yeah, like, they go one-on-one for a good part of this thing, including, like, I think in a cool bit of detail, like, whenever Quickstrike bites Silverbolt with a snake arm, the limb gets, like, colored with, like, green energy to, like, imply that, you know, it's paralyzing venom, which is a nice touch.
Yeah, I like that. I'd like to point out, Quickstrike hits Silverbolt so hard at the beginning of this fight that he falls headfirst into a rock. And followed by Silverbolt throwing something at Tarantulas, and he goes headfirst into a rock. I'm like, everybody's out.
Yeah. Oh, I almost forgot one important thing. Like, as they're getting, like Quickstrike's like, yeah, we'll get you next time, and then spits. Which is weird, because Quickstrike doesn't actually have a mouth.
You know what, he's not just any bad guy from a cowboy movie, he's specifically Mad Dog Tanner from Back to the Future 3.
Uh-huh. I think you're right. I think that's kind of what he's going for with Quickstrike's voice. It is very Biff Tannen.
Right before giving up, turning around and screaming, Sugarbot!
Rattrap looks to Silverbolt and asks, like, let me guess, you want to follow him, right? Like, fight's over, like, the cavern's collapsed. I say we call it a day.
Uh-huh.
Which immediately endears him to Rattrap.
I wrote down that line. The day is won, the battle is done. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, that was good. We also did get Silverbolt's trumpet fanfare earlier when he was giving a bit of a speech. So, which is one of my favorite parts of Silverbolt.
I had it down in my notes as, where was it? Oh, right, okay, so, Silverbolt is eager to prove himself as a Maximal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, we cut back to the dark side, where Megatron is furious at the Arachnids. It's like, what happened? Why do you guys just drop on the face of the Earth? And they tell Megatron, yeah, Maximal showed up and blew up the place, and Tarantulas and Tricks is like, oh yeah, they definitely blew up all the Energon. Nothing salvageable. You're gonna have to start over from scratch. Terrible shame there. Which Megatron just is furious and just, like, blows up at them. But then we cut to, like, a beaker, like, with green energy going through it as reveal that it was all a ruse. Like Tarantulas set up the explosion to just blow up the entrance to the cavern. So everyone would think that it was good, as he has officially made his new lair. So he hasn't had one since, like, I think, like, Aftermath, or maybe even, like, in Season 1.
Black Ranking had mentioned that his old lair got fried with the Quantum Surge.
Okay. Yeah. So, we have this lab, which will, yeah, be very important going on. And we cut away as Tarantulas gives, like, a sinister laugh. And that's the episode, for the most part.
Mm-hmm. So, this really only three things happened in this episode. The psychic link was broken, Tarantulas got a new lair, and most important of all, Black Mackney and Silverbolt finally met each other.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes it seem like, oh, it's a nothing episode, but it's a really good episode, and that's nice after, like, the big high action of, like, coming the Fusers Part 1 and 2. We get a much smaller character piece, and one which is, like, the most Predacon-centric episode of it. Like, we most skip the Maximals parts, because, like, they don't really need to be in this episode. It kind of reminds me of, like, the Suicide Squad episode of Justice League Unlimited, where it's all about the villains, and the heroes only really exist to provide opposition to them. Which is a really cool technique to try for, like, a cartoon in 1997. And this also is the episode that really cements, like, Tarantulas from being just, like, crazy cannibal weirdo to being a mastermind and a plotter, as he will be weaving webs within webs for the remainder of the series.
I'm not sure if we can confirm he's a cannibal yet.
I mean, it's heavily implied in the earlier episodes.
He did almost eat a cheetah. I believe. Not Cheetor, but a different cheetah, if I remember correctly.
Oh, that reminds me. The director of this episode was actually the offline editor for the web.
Oh, okay. So, coming back to Tarantulas.
Yeah. Which, when I before I noticed that Webworld was a G1 episode, I was like, oh, he had multiple Tarantulas episodes under his belt.
Mm-hmm. Well, good on him.
Yeah. So yeah, that gets the episode, right?
Yep,
that's the end.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, right. Going to Character Spotlight?
Yeah, Character Spotlight on, Shock, Tarantulas, who we never actually covered in Season 1, just because we didn't start to do this earlier. So, Tarantulas is voiced by Alec Willows, who is a very long-time, like, voice actor, particularly anime dubs. He is the first voice of Oolong in Dragon Ball and DBZ. The voice of Commander Feldspar on War Planet / Shadow Raiders. He is the voice of the mayor of Townsville in the English dub of Powerpuff Girl Z, but not the actual original show, so he's not actually the same character as Mayor
that
Townsville.
The original mayor voice was Tom Kenny, who most famously is known for SpongeBob, but he's actually a very talented voice actor who's done a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
Did Canada actually get the Powerpuff Girl Z dub? Because as far as I know, the English dub hasn't actually been seen anywhere.
So, if we did, I don't know about it. But as...
Yeah, I wasn't aware... Oh, sorry. Can you continue?
No, as far as I know, I don't think we have.
Yeah, I wasn't aware this got dubbed. Maybe it was, like, got a DVD release? I don't know.
it got dubbed a few years ago, and as far as I know, they're like basically they dubbed it, but it never released it.
Huh. For weird. Good reason, probably.
I have no idea why. I don't know why they go through the trouble of dubbing it and never releasing it, like, in any way.
He also has a credit on a single episode of Supernatural as Barry Papazian / Clown. And while I've never watched Supernatural, I hope to like Primus that whatever he's doing in this episode is he's doing an evil clown, because that's really all I want out of him.
I'm looking it up. I don't remember this one, but I remember a couple of evil clowns. But let's see, clown.
Yeah, I'll read the text backward to that. So, the past couple of text specs have been mostly on point. Tarantulas is another one where the text spec writers didn't really look at what was going on in the show. So, this is the original toy text spec. An 8-arm master of martial arts, this ninja nightmare slashes his way through the battle virtually unstoppable. The heroic Optimus Primal suspects him of being responsible for the disappearance of numerous Earthlings, and recent rumors suggest the existence of giant cocoons where Tarantulas may store his unfortunate prey. He must be stopped before he spins his web of terror throughout the galaxy. Also of note, his original tech spec has his intelligence as a 4. Which, again, these are out of 10. Which is, again, like, no, this is not Tarantulas at all. Except for maybe, like, the stealing and putting people in giant cocoons. That seems like something he would do. But, yeah. Not really a ninja. Now, you'd think that for the Transmetal toy, they'd have a better idea. Like, a lot of the other Transmetal tech specs have been much more on point. But no, this one still is off. It's like, there are a few Predacons spinning webs of violence and deceit skillfully as the 8-legged ninja warrior Tarantulas. After the quantum surge, Tarantulas was delighted to discover himself as a mech'd-out arachnid motocross vehicle-like... as a mech'd-out arachnid with motocross vehicle-like capabilities. Instead of constantly relying on stealth and surprise, Tarantulas now rages into battle with his new wicked wheels. So yeah, like, it's implying he's like, oh yeah, he's like a BMX ninja.
So, I found the thing... he actually wasn't... Okay, so he wasn't technically an evil clown, but he was, like, a shape-shifting imp from Hindu mythology that disguised itself as a clown because it can only be enter a home if it's invited. So, okay. He's even worse than an evil clown. Huh. Yeah, so, mischievous homicidal imps with a taste for human flesh, who can become become invisible, sleep on a bed of dead insects, shapeshift to describe themselves as human. So he was a shapeshifting evil imp, disguising himself as a clown to basically gain the confidence of children, so they would invite him into their homes, so he could basically eat the family.
That is fantastic. All right. So obviously. He got a couple toys. His first one is, you know, the same one as Black Arachnia, because that's what came first. Including, like, a missile gun with, like, a string, so you could do, like, spider things. Five legs as missiles. Also, weirdly, in one of the first commercials, he was a translucent orange, and they called him Tarantula, which I think they kind of missed the point of, like, the names. It's like, two on the nose, guys.
I remember that.
Hmm. And then, yeah. of course, he got a Transmetal form, which, as we mentioned before, is very, like, purple, purple and chrome. It has the, I guess, officially that is a BMX bike mode underneath. Yeah, also of note, none of his forms actually look like a tarantula. Like, none of them even really look like a real spider. It's definitely like, he's like, oh yeah, draw a spider, but like, don't actually look up a real one.
Hmm. Also, because of his weapon in his Transmetal form, I now refer to as the pizza slicer of doom.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it looks like.
Well, I mean, it's blades down. For the vehicle mode, but then it's the blades up for the gun mode.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He also got a black and gray repaint, which is mostly notable since it got used in a BotCon comic as a resurrected Tarantulas.
Because the redeco is because the Fox Kids specifically put out a bunch of redecos. I think the black and gray one was the Fox Kids redeco, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Yeah. So also he has. We're not going to go into the full thing just because it's complicated and gets into stuff that happens in season 3. But I am going to say he has the most complicated origin of any character on the show.
By far.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So just, part of it, his origin will be revealed at the end of the season.
Yeah. Or will it? Because some of it doesn't actually end up getting on there. But again, we'll get to that. It comes there because it gets confusing. Oh, also, it seems like he didn't really get any like weird quirks from like the Japanese dub. He still has his laugh, but because he has a much higher pitched voice actor in Japan, his laugh sounds more like a Wicked Witch laugh than like the kind of laugh he has right now. So that's all I got for Tarantulas, the mastermind, evil spider, sometimes a ninja in a tech spec continuity. But not really.
Hmm.
Alright, so I guess... do we have any messages from the Golden Disc this week?
Double checking. I don't believe we do. Looks like we don't have any new ratings.
Yeah. Alright. In that case, well, I'll take a moment to ask someone on the show. So, Morpheus, like, how did this episode hold up for you?
Tangled Web might be one of my favorite episodes because so much happens. It gives you a real in-depth look to how Tarantulas actually is. And for some reason, yeah, I don't know what's going on with Inferno. I want to know.
Inferno's weird.
But, and it gives us probably the best quick strike moments of the whole series, is him just screaming things throughout the episode.
it's definitely one of my more favorite quick strike moments. I mean, my most favorite one is when he asks, Dan about what's a warrior without a weapon, and, which is not a question you should ask Dinobot. Spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, this is really good. Like I forgot some of it, but just like I forgot some of the stuff that happened. But when it happened, just like, oh yeah, there's good stuff. Like I completely, when Black Arachne pulls the dagger, and just like, what is she just gonna stab Tarantulas? That doesn't seem right. Or very effective.
If anything, she's the better ninja.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, as we said since her introduction, she's very much played up the sexy assassin aspect of her, which has been downplayed a little bit recently.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah, she... Mm-hmm. Yeah, her... We read her Gen 1, her original... Sorry, not her Gen 1, but her first tech spec off when we did her character spotlight, and it was ridiculous. I think it included lines about, like, crushing her enemies with her legs. I'm just like, this is a children's toy. What the heck's that doing in there?
Yeah, I remember that. I remember hearing that.
I've been watching along with the Spectre, James, or Jake's Spectre podcast. So Xenia Odyssey Top is really, really fresh to my mind with that, with that description.
I mean, this would be around the same time. Like, what year was GoldenEye?
No, 94.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so kind of contemporary. This would come afterwards, at least.
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway, so I guess since we're talking about characters, we're going to talk about our MVBs. So, Morpheus, you can go first since you are the guest.
Oh, it's a very very tough choice, but I must say Tarantulas. Mm-hmm. Just the plotting.
Sometimes you gotta go with what your heart tells you.
The plotting, mm-hmm. especially at the end where he purposely starts an argument between everybody to distract them from going to the cavern.
Yeah, no, this is definitely his, full-on breakout episode. It's not that he wasn't, a good character for him, but this isn't just, oh, yeah, this is the traitorous, spider you remember.
Yes.
Oh, speaking of which, I forgot to read the quote from the source book.
Okay.
Madness paves the way to true understanding.
I can see that being a Tarantulas line.
Yeah.
I believe
so. So, Dowd, who was your MVP?
I'm pretty sure no one's going to be surprised by mine. Because she finally broke off the link and got, fully regained her agency, given to Black Arachnia. But close second of Quickstrike, because he was just extremely entertaining.
You can't take Quickstrike, because otherwise I'm not going to have a character left. I'm going to go with Quickstrike.
Okay.
Because, yeah, he had some, really good lines, being basically a dumb cowpoke the entire episode. I kind of wish I wrote down more of his lines so you can quote him, but I did not this time. But he's good and definitely worth watching for this episode, among other things.
Like getting shot and screaming, "Look out now."
Yeah.
I was just checking if there were any of his quotes in the quote section of the page. There's one that we didn't mention, but not really funny.
Yeah. Alright, so that's all. So, guess I gave us a preview of the next episode. With the contents of the Golden Disc waving heavily on his mind, Dinobot must decide which side of the conflict he truly belongs to. Maximal No More, which will feature returning guests, Lewis. Yep, a Season 1 original.
Our only guest from Season 1, yes.
Yes. We weren't trying to do it actively at the time.
Well, we were. We just got a lot more pushy with it this season.
Yeah. So, anywho, thank you for listening to the Axelon Archives. If you have any questions...
Oh, hold on. Before we get to the closing... Before we get to the closing, Morpheus, is there anything you want to plug?
Oh, yes. This is a program mm-hmm. that... or a YouTube channel that I've just started called Morphed Figures. There might be some figure reviews once I actually can get a camera that's good enough to use for this, but it's mainly for a stop-motion series called 12 Worlds at Battle. 12 different fandoms all fighting in a battle royale in a stop-motion series based off of Dragon Ball Super's Universe of Power.
Nice.
And I saw the fandom list, and this makes me sad because a lot of my fandoms are in it, and I don't want them to get erased from existence.
Yeah, no, I
should I mention what they are?
Oh, sure. Throw it out there.
In order from 1 to 12 is Marvel, Power Rangers, Gundam Wing, Digimon, Bionicle, Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball, Transformers, Reboot, Star Wars, Beetleborgs, and DC.
Nice. Yeah, I do have a fondness for, character battles. One of my few instances of, writing on the web was there was a site, I think called, Nintendo World, that would do, deathmatch battle summaries. I ended up writing two of them. Sadly, or not, depending on... Since I did write them a while ago, those are no longer up on the internet. But I still have the original files, and those were kind of fun. So I do kind of take your action figures and smash them together kind of style fighting stuff.
I think most of the time with my action figures, I had them plotting in their base to attack the bad guys, which sometimes. Said bad guys would be part of that group, depending on how I was feeling that day.
Yeah, you only have so many action figures sometimes that you have to double them up.
Yeah, no, like, I had the Galaxy Megazord, just, like, which is bigger than all of my other toys, just standing right there. He's the big bruiser, but then, like, with, like, a RoboCop and a, I don't remember what else I had. I think I had, like, one or two Transformer toys in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Which, Tomorphous, since now, now that you have two Twitter handles, which one do you want us to include?
It would include the At Morphed Figures one. The other one is my store's Twitter, specifically for the Pokemon leagues that I run, because I work at a comic store that also can run Pokemon leagues.
Nice.
Yeah, that one's at Oaks League. This one is at Morphed Figures.
So, and then now mention, because we were mentioning action figures and this is, and Hasbro. So Hasbro, starting April of next year, will be taking over the toys for Power Rangers. And this is this actually is related to Beast Morphers, because the next series is called Beast Morphers.
The
and Hasbro is doing the toys. A Beast Wars revival cannot be far off, correct?
Mm-hmm. I thought they were doing GoBusters next. Or are they going to be doing?
It is GoBusters. It's called Beast Morphers. Which is like the worst name I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's a weird name, particularly because, like, isn't there like another series where they are like beasts? Like, I think my brother joked they were like Zootopia Rangers or something.
Well, no, like their season 40 of the Sentai is like Minecraft mixed animal rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Zootopia.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing Ghostbusters at, or not, sorry, not Ghostbusters.
GoBusters.
GoBusters, yes. GoBusters, they have these, buddy robots.
Oh, buddy the Buddy Roids.
Yes, the Buddy Roids.
Disk is too slow or system overload.
Shit.
Uh-oh. What does that mean?
That usually just means it stopped recording. 1 second.
Oh, no.
That happens.
Yeah, mine's still going.
Yeah, no,
I'm on a 5-year-old Mac, so that happens sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Where was I going? All right, yeah, so the Buddy Roids, they transform into stuff, and I think at one point they also turn into, armor for the Rangers, so I think that's the only reason they're calling it Beast Morphers. The Rangers themselves aren't Beast Morphers, their sidekicks are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I've got to plug. I've got all the sides decided already. Tarantulas is on the Transformers side.
Nice.
I've got at least one Decepticon, one Autobot, one Maximal, one Predacon, and one Viacon.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
And a Minicon.
They can be the underdog.
For anybody who
I'm not gonna
is a tarantula.
I said I'm not. Good.
Oh, sorry. For anybody who's a Tarantulas fan and knows about his origins, I've got him, Thrust, and Sideways. There's a connection.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And I'm using all the motors.
We talk. I don't want to talk about this too much, but you But you have a God of Destruction, a Supreme Kai, and an Angel for every fandom.
Yes.
And for some reason, Primus is not your Supreme Kai.
No, he's the Angel. He is the strongest of the three. Optimus is the Supreme Kai. He dies the easiest. Come on now.
But Primus is also the God of Transformers.
Exactly. Why is he... So he's the Angel. Unicron would be the God of Destruction.
Well, obviously, but I'm just saying, Optimus Prime and Primus in those roles should be switched.
No.
All right, I'm gonna end this all before we go into a tangent black hole.
Oh, that's fine. Right, we can argue about this on Twitter.
Yes.
All
right. Okay. So, closing for real now.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So, thank you for listening to the Axelon Archives. If you have any questions, want to guest on the show, or want to just talk to us about Beast Wars, you can reach out to us on Twitter at Axelon Archives, or by email at axelonarchives@gmail.com. You can find the show at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, Podknife, Podbean, and Stitcher, and we're also soon going to be on Spotify. Please leave a rating and a review because it helps people find the show. And check out our website at axelon.buzzsprout.com. If you want to follow either of us on Twitter, you can follow me at Discord_Inc.
You can find me at Duffback.
And you can find me at Mark Figures.
So yeah, you can, sorry, read yours off.
Oh, you can find me at Morphed Figures.
Alright, and until next time, the Beast Wars continue.
Beast or Bot, we're still the baddest.
Yeah.